All right, we're going to continue our teaching on the tabernacle. And can we put our thing up there? And just, we got some scriptures to share with you today. But here's a depiction of the tabernacle as it was described in the book of Exodus. We know that God said to the children of Israel for them to build this sanctuary, this tabernacle, for the sole purpose that he might dwell among his people. There was a problem with man and God. There was something that stood between them, something that required judgment, and that's called sin. God does not overlook sin. We need to know that. God doesn't wink at sin. God hates sin. He loves righteousness. But God is love, but he's also holy. He's also just. He's also righteous. And he is all of these things in perfect balance. That's a very difficult thing, because when God comes in contact with sin, he's got to judge it. So he set up the tabernacle and set up the Levitical system of sacrifices in dealing with the tabernacle. Now, we started, this is the seventh week that we've done this, and so we started weeks ago talking about where God started, and we started with the Ark of the Covenant, and we worked our way out to the gate, and we said this is the way of grace. This depicts God's grace reaching out to mankind. God could have responded to man's sin any way that he chose to do so. He could respond in judgment. He could have destroyed mankind, but he chose not to. Instead, he chose to channel his power on our behalf to do something for us to restore a broken relationship with him. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. He chose to do that. So this, when we were talking about the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, and then the altar of incense and the menorah and the table of showbread and the laver and the brazen altar, we were talking about God coming from where he was to meet man's greatest need, and that's called the way of grace. Last week, we started talking about going from, instead of man to God, God to man, now we're doing from man to God. And this is called the way of faith. Last week, we talked about this outside altar called the brass altar or the copper altar. And that we know that this is a place of sacrifice. This is the place where the blood sacrifices took place. In fact, there are five Levitical offerings, and you can read about these in Leviticus chapter 1 through 5. And they depicted certain things, and we found out that a couple of those things had to do that offerings that said that man would say to God by faith, "All that I am is yours." And that's when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're not just praying a prayer for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, our sins are forgiven, but that's not just the prayer that we're praying. A lot of people have a limited understanding, and they come and they just want to pray this prayer to get their sins forgiven. But God is not through with us at that point. And some people want God to be through with us. You know, I just want to go to heaven when I die. I don't really want God in my life. I just want my sins forgiven. Well, that's not the deal. God doesn't do deals like that. God doesn't cut deals. You and Jesus don't have your own thing going. We either do it his way or no way. And what he is asking us to do is to give all that we are to him. And in this first Levitical offering, that's what it said. Another one that we talked about had to do with bringing something to God that was to be consumed. Nothing left over. And in saying that, we're saying, okay, God, all that I have is yours. That's kind of what Joe was talking about a while ago when he was talking about how we give to God. And our attitude, and it's about the what? Is it about the legalistic part of it? No, it's about the heart. See, when we accept Christ, God changes our heart. That's what he's after, the heart. You say, well, he's after my stuff. No, he's after your heart. If he's after your heart and you're saying all that I am is yours and all that I have is yours, guess what? He's got all that you are and all that you have. And you won't be stingy. You won't be fearful. You're willing to give all that you are and have to God because you know that God is going to truly bless you if you do that. And there were other sacrifices that represented other things. But today we're going to talk about the brass laver or the copper laver. Now we said in the outer court is where God deals with sin. Where God deals with sin. And each step that we take with God is one that is drawing us closer to the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God. See, the work of the cross begins in the outer court at the brass altar. It doesn't quit there. The work of grace does not quit there. See, the outer altar is about grace. But listen, the next step and the next step and the next step, all of these are about grace. And it has to do with God using His power where we're concerned. It has to do with His favor. When we come to Christ, we are favored by God. Isn't that good news? We are favored by God. And I say this all the time, and I'll probably say this as long as I live. God loves us just like we are, but He loves us too much for us to stay there. Because if we stay where we are, we'll destroy ourselves. See, when you come to Christ, you don't have it all together. You don't think right. You just been born again. Your heart's been changed. But there's still things in your life. Have you ever noticed how much defeat Christians walk in? How they oppose themselves many times? You know why that is? Even though their heart's right, their heads are wrong. Their thinking is wrong. If your thinking is wrong, your action is going to be wrong. And it's going to lead you back into bondage. It's going to lead you back into slavery. See, God didn't set you free from the slavery of sin for you to become entangled with it again. The work of the cross is the beginning place, and that work of the cross goes on and on and on throughout your life. But you've got to let that happen. You have to respond to this grace. It's not about getting saved and then keeping the rules. It's about getting saved and allowing the work of grace to continue in our lives. And it may look like keeping rules, but that's not what it's about. It's about the heart. See, if you love somebody, if you really love somebody, your heart's desire is to please that person. It's not to take advantage of that person. It's not to use that person. It is to love and to please that person. And if that is our heart's desire, you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn our backs on the things that displease Him. So how do we know what displeases Him? That's why He gave us the book. Everybody say the book. It's about the book. Now, again, it's not about, okay, Commandment 1, Commandment 2, Commandment 3. That's not what it's about. It's, Lord, I want to please You. Show me how. And it's a work of His grace. It's His power still working on the inside of us. What He began at this outer altar, He's going to continue at this laver. And it's a work of love. It's a work of grace. And thank God, it's a work of patience. God is not through with you yet. Aren't you glad? You are not the finished product. Now, you can resist all you want to, but see, you're not a finished product yet. You have perfect righteousness in Christ, but there's still things that needs to be done in our hearts. There's still areas of our life that we need to know how to surrender to God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to read in Exodus chapter 30, beginning with verse 18. We have these scriptures for you. It says, you shall make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze, for washing. What is this laver about? For washing. This is not about blood. Where was the blood shed? It was shed back at the gate where the altar is. That's where the blood sacrifices take place. There's no other place in the tabernacle that blood sacrifices take place. Jesus died how many times for our sins? One. That's sufficient. He is the fulfillment of every Levitical sacrifice that's described in Scripture. It's all fulfilled in Him. And He died one time for our sins. Okay? So this is about washing. Washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of the meeting and the altar. Now, the tabernacle of meeting is the tent. The altar is there. He says, you put it between. So what do we have to experience first? We have to experience the brazen altar. You have to experience the place where the blood was shed. What can wash away my sins? Can the water? No. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the... Say that together. Nothing but the... Oh, isn't that good? But what does the water do? What does the water do? It says it washes. You shall put water in it, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. Hands represent our service to God. Feet represent our walk with God. God is interested in our walk with Him. God wants to be involved with your walk with Him. God wants to be involved with your service of Him. He wants it to be clean. He wants it to be right. He wants your attitude to be right. And this is what we're going to see in this, okay? When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. Reckon it was important? If they didn't do it, they did what? They died. God is making a point here. And can I say that you can experience that outer altar, but you also have to experience the laver? Otherwise, it will be, you will destroy your own life, because all you'll do is walk around this altar, this outer altar, and never experience, by grace, the labor which was designed to cleanse your walk with God. Your walk is an ongoing thing, and your service to God, it is an ongoing thing. He wants it to be clean. He wants it to be right. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations. So the outer court is the first place where man meets God. This is the place where our relationship with God is established. See, there's some terms that are thrown about in Christianity, the brotherhood of man under the fatherhood of God, and they use a general sweep to say we're all children of God. Now listen, we're not all children of God. Jesus told some of the scribes and the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. Not everybody are children of God. We're children of God by accepting the sacrifice of the Son of God. That makes us children of God, doesn't it? That's what makes us children of God. So our relationship is established in the blood. Our fellowship with God is established daily by what happens in our lives daily. It's based on the blood. But there's a part of grace that God wants to do a work in our daily lives. Why do I harp at you all the time about reading your Bibles? I haven't harped about it lately. But we try to get you on a Bible reading program where you're at least reading the New Testament through every year. Other than Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, which was a physical thing, the greatest gift that God has ever given us is the Holy Bible. That's true. We believe that it's God's Word. We believe that it's God's message to us. We believe that it is given to us for a purpose. And statistics tell us that probably less than 20% of Christians read their Bibles more than once a year. So are we esteeming the Word of God in the way that we should as the people of God? Does that say something to us? That says that we are ignoring a huge part of what Christianity is about. What are they doing? They're circling this altar up here. They're not participating in what comes next. Therefore, they're killing themselves. There's death at work in their daily lives because they're not able to go to the next step. So that says that most Christians live in the outer court, that they never experience the things that God has laid in store for them. That's a tragedy. I don't want to be there, do you? Are y'all out there? I'm not beating you up. If it beats you up, my prayer today is not that you'll hear my voice. My prayer today is that you'll hear His voice. Okay? I want everything that comes from me to fall flat. I want everything that He says to pierce our hearts. Because that is the thing that we need to hear, is what He says. Okay. So fellowship is established in the labor. It's interesting that there are no dimensions. God goes into specific details with every other piece of furniture in the tabernacle, but in this one, no dimensions are given. That kind of shows us the scope of grace. Grace is a huge thing. How much will God forgive me? How much does grace cover? There's a old hymn. I want to read the refrain from that hymn. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. See, this is a picture of God's grace. This is a picture of God's cleansing. This is a picture of what God wants to do in our lives as Christians, as we respond to Him in faith, as we from the heart respond to Him in faith. Now, the reason that I'm sticking my finger in this grace is because that many people approach this in a very legalistic fashion. You got to keep the rules. Well, I believe in living by the principles. I believe in living by the rules. But I'm not trying to merit anything from God. I have already merited through Christ everything that I need to merit. And it's not based on me, it's based on Him. What this is a work of grace that causes me to become the kind of vessel that I need to be for His glory. And this is where we need to be as Christians. And this is a huge, huge place. This labor that has to do with this. As I said, there's no dimensions. It's made of what? Is it made of gold? Nope. Because gold speaks of deity and purity. He's not dealing with our deity or our purity. He's dealing with our sin and judgment. And there's something that needs to take place here. See, the Bible tells us that if we will judge ourselves, then we will not be judged. If we'll judge ourselves, then we'll not be judged. This takes place at this laver. I want to read a verse here. And this is interesting. It says, because in Exodus 38:8, he says, "He made the laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting." The laver was made out of brass mirrors. Interesting. Is that a coincidence? Or we say, is that a quinky dink? That's not a coincidence. Made out of mirrors. I want us to think a minute about what we use mirrors for, okay? Mirrors show us certain things. Thank God that you looked in the mirror before you came to church this morning. I looked in the mirror and my hair was standing straight up right there. So I reached up, looking in that mirror, and I slicked her down. You know, you look real close, make sure that there's, get all the eye boogers out. You know, all of the sleepers, aren't I terrible? What do we do? Well, thank God for mirrors. Thank God. I mean, how could you part your hair? I don't part my hair. I know some of you don't part your hair either. But sometimes we have to have a mirror to part our hair. Rodney don't need a mirror to part his hair. Can I pick on you, Rodney? Okay. I can't make him mad. But we use a mirror sometimes to part our hair. Dear Lord, after this morning, after they got through with their sound check, about three of the women, they headed to the bathroom. And they're there and they're putting some war paint on or something. And they look pretty good. That's what we use mirrors for. So here, let me give you several things that we use mirrors for. Number one is to look at our natural beauty or defilement. Most of us guys look at our defilement. Most of you women look at your beauty, okay? So we behold our natural selves in a mirror. That's what we do. Number two, we take physical inventory. Is my hair okay? Is this okay? Is that okay? Does my face look okay? Am I dirty? We use a mirror, number three, to help adorn ourselves. Like I said a while ago, it's hard to part your hair if you can't see what you're doing. It's hard to put your makeup on if you can't see what you're doing. We have to have mirrors to do that. Number four, to expose ourselves to ourselves. We see ourselves in the mirror as we really are. Sometimes that's frightening. But that leads to the fifth thing that we use the mirror for, is we use it to adorn ourselves. We see our defilement, we see our hair standing up, we fix it. We adorn ourselves. We make ourselves presentable. That's what we do with mirrors. And that's a wonderful thing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, this is talking about the relationship of husbands and wives and how it parallels with the relationship of Christ and His church. It says, "Husbands, love your wives," all the women said. That was weak, girls. "Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify," what does that mean? To set apart, "and to cleanse her with the washing of the water of the Word." What is the purpose of the Word of God in our lives? Now, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. That's what gets us saved. But what is it that cleans up our act? What is it that has been given to us so that we can check our attitudes, that we can check our hearts, that we can check our walk, that we can check our motives? It's called the Word of God, and it's called the washing of the water of the Word. That's a picture of that laver. That's what happens at the laver. And so we see that God does a work in us. Now, why does He do this work? Verse 27, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Why do we get in front of the mirror? So that we will look presentable. What is God doing with His church today? He is trying to get her presentable so that she can stand before her God. Thank you. One more verse. Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? Remember that inside the tabernacle there, the first room that you go in is called the what? The holy place. So who is it that gets to go in to the holy place? Not everybody gets to go in to the holy place. Who is it who gets to stand in the holy place? Next verse. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully. He is taking care of the business at that altar. He's washed his hands. He's washed his feet. He has cleansed himself. He has responded to that grace of God. God is preparing us to be in intimate fellowship with Him. What is our part? His part is grace. His part is to give, to make His power available to us, even though we don't deserve it. Our response to that is faith. Well, I believe. Well, that's faith is more than believing. Faith is acting upon what you believe. If I know that God wants me to be with Him, if He wants to do this work in my life, I can believe in Him all I want to. I need to embrace it, and I need to walk in that direction. What does the work? Do I clean myself up? No. But His Word working in me, the grace of His Word working in my heart, begins to change my attitude. It begins to change my outlook. It challenges my motives. It confronts me. See, one of the things that the Word of God does, it reproves, it rebukes, it instructs. Why? Because it's a living thing. The Word of God is alive. It's working in us. It will confront you. It will convict you. We need that in our daily lives. It's not that we're not talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about believers walking in fellowship with Him. Because the more that you become conformed to His image, the better He can use you for His glory. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to live for His glory. And if we're going to encounter His glory in the Holy of Holies, We need to prepare ourselves by faith and embracing from the heart the work that He does at the cross and the work that He does in that labor by the washing of the water of the Word. The Word needs to be just like you drink liquid. I know a lot of people don't drink water. Can I just tell you, you ought to drink a lot of water. This is just a natural thing. You ought to drink a lot of water. I don't like water. Well, your body was made for water. Now, I like coffee. I like tea. But I try to drink a lot of water. Now, let's turn it spiritual. You need a lot of water in your life. You need a lot of word in your life. You don't just need to have a promise box fellowship with God. You need to have a word of God. You need to have a daily time in the word with God, where you say, God, today, show me myself. Show me. Let me look in this mirror. You know, and the Bible says that as we look in this mirror and we behold in the mirror the glory of God, that we're changed from glory to glory to glory. What is God doing? He's drawing us to himself. By the time we die, we ought to be so close to God that death shouldn't be that big a deal. It just like walking out a door into another room. It ought to be something that is so familiar to us, because we're walking with God in a close relationship with him. Amen. Did you get anything out of that today? Okay. This means yes. This means no. Okay. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. We got a little time. We're going to sing another worship song. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. Because one of the things that we want not what I say to mean anything, but what he says to mean everything. And so whatever he has said to you today, and you know what that is. You know what that is in your heart of hearts, because you know what landed. You know what pierced. And you need an opportunity to respond to that. And whether you do that at your seat or you come here, you know, if you're here today and don't know Christ, come, find him. You're going to find his grace is sufficient. You're going to find the marvelousness of his grace that's found in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. If you have any kind of need today, feel free to come as we stand together. I want to pray real quick, and we're going to worship. Father, we love you for your grace today. We love you that your grace has been extended to us, that opportunity has been given us, that we could be conformed to your image and your likeness as we cleanse our hearts, as we cleanse our hands, as we cleanse our feet through your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity of grace. We love you today. In Jesus' name, feel free to come.